Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Leon Rocky Edwards!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I, we like to start sometimes by ourselves and talk, and other times it works out perfectly where we can start with a guest. Now, this our first guest for today, and our only guest for today is a friend of the show who we talk about all the time.
Yes.
Fighting Bilal Muhammad in the main event this Saturday in Las Vegas. Let's please, hopefully he can hear us, the great Leon Edwards.
Leon, man, are your ears ringing as of lately? Like, me and Jimmy talk about you a lot. I don't know if you ever get the memo about how much we talk about you.
Nah, I hear it. I'm happy now to be in another fight week, so it's all good.
Yeah, we think, again, you're a guy we always want to see getting fight. And I know it just seems like a run of bad luck, like a run of one thing after another. How many in a row fights have you had drop out for one reason or another?
This will be my fourth, fifth camp I've done. If you count the Woodley camp back in March. So yeah, this is my fourth time preparing for a fight. I'm happy that they didn't try push it back again, as I did in January when I was meant to fight in January. Even though I did say to them, keep me on the card in January, and I'll go again in March, but they said no, let's reschedule. Then it fell out again. So that's it, really.
Now, you had some, I'm sorry, Jimmy, had some high profile, like, fights fall through in those camps. Now, did it get to the point now where it's like, all right, I don't give a shit who it is. Just give me somebody. Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, 100%. Also, my first option was Kobe Covington. He was talking shit. So, okay, put him in. They said they wanted to do it. They asked me about the fight. I said, yes. They went to him. He says, no. And that was it, really. So, went down the list, went to Wonderboy. He's injured. So he couldn't do it for the date in March. Then Bilal accepted. So yeah, that's now here we are.
Yeah, I think Colby, when I heard he said no, I didn't care about his comment. I think that he wants no part of fighting you if he doesn't have to. That was for sure.
100%. All these guys, they're all social media fighters. Right? Back in the day, it was like the UFC was built on number one fight, number two, number three fight. It was built on fighters fighting each other, right? That was like, this guy ain't got enough Instagram followers. This guy, even though he got the most wins in the division, come to Usman, you know. So they make excuses, but they will come, and I cannot wait. I'm happy that Bilal stepped up and I get to compete.
And he's been on a great streak too, 4-fight win streak. I mean, Bilal has looked incredible too. So he's definitely a difficult fight for anybody right now.
Yeah, for sure. He's a tough, durable opponent. He's well rounded everywhere. So I'm looking forward to going out there and performing and just reminding the world that I belong to be a champion, and I cannot wait for it.
When you got Bilal's name, Was it, did you seen his last, I mean, listen, his last fight was with Diego
Lima.
Lima, yeah.
That guy's no joke. He's been taking out good guys. Did that excite you that he's on such a streak? Like the guy's on a 4-fight
win streak? Yeah, for sure. Like I said, he's tough, you know, and I'm not overlooking him. I'm sure this is a title fight. I've been out for over a year. I'm excited to be back in Octagon. So I'm not overlooking him. I'm taking him, like I said, as a title fight. And if I go out there and lose, let's say I go out there and lose to Bilal, then all these talks about fighting for the title goes away, right? So I am fully focused on Bilal Muhammad, and I know exactly what he brings to the table, and I can't wait for it.
Jimmy, I'm going to say, because I'm reading here that is it true that you predicted that Jake Paul will beat Ben Askren in boxing and saying that it'll be bad for MMA? Is that a headline?
Facts. That's true, man.
Really?
Come on, bro. You see Ben striking. Like, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. I think it knocks him out. It's going to look bad for the MMA guys.
You know, I disagree. I think Ben is going to be not stupid in the match. I think Ben's more durable than people think. I think he took that shot. I mean, besides that shot from Jorge, the guy's never really been in trouble. I think he's going to use the boxing to be tiring him up a lot. And, you know, after he ties him up,
nah.
I
think he's
just going to... No, Leon!
Nah.
Leon is unswayable.
I am not convinced. I'm not convincing Leon.
I can't see it. I think I can't see it.
Oh, man. Here's my thoughts on this. And you tell me if I'm crazy. Ben Askren striking was, again, not what a lot of striking is in that division or in MMA. But he did, I mean, a lot of people thought that Lawler had him out. But, I mean, he did survive that Lawler pummeling. Bobby Lawler hits a lot harder than Jake Paul. And Jake Paul has only fought one guy, and it was an amateur fight. And I think he takes it seriously, and he's a tough fucking guy.
Yeah.
But Ben Askren has spent a career standing up with guys who punch and duck punches.
Exactly, but that's what, like, with the grappling in mind, right? He took his punches knowing that can clinch and take it out to the floor. But when you can't take it on down to the floor, you have to stay on your feet and keep punching till the fight is finished. I think it's too slow as well. He's like very flat footed and he's slow, and is I don't know. I can't see him beating him, which is sad, right? Because he has such a great career.
I'm taking Askren in the first round, maybe second at the latest.
I
know.
I don't agree with that.
Because I tell you, because it's like a guy who used to be a professional dancer. Even if he hurts his foot, he's still a fucking better dancer than a guy who's only danced once. Like, Askren is a guy who was 30 and 0 at one point, or 20? Like, he had a tremendous record. I'm probably adding some wins there. But again, he was fighting guys like who stand up and fight for a living, even though he knew to take him down.
Yeah.
This guy's not a professional fighter. This guy has had one fight. And he could kick my ass, but who couldn't?
Leon ain't buying it, man. Leon ain't buying it.
I just can't see it. Like I said, he's flat footed as well, he's slow, man. I don't know.
All right, listen, a friendly bet. I don't know what we could bet, though. We bet which one of us gives Jimmy a wedgie. Okay, this is what I bet.
Perfect.
You guys can both do it.
Jimmy's like, I hope you both win. Jimmy, calm down.
No, I wouldn't care for that. that's not fair. I wouldn't care for that.
Leon, something besides MMA, people want to know about you, or at least me and Jimmy.
Yeah.
Besides, not MMA related, it's a Sunday, it's your day off. Give me a hobby. Give me a show you're watching. Give me a book you're reading.
Show I'm watching is like Vikings. It's one of my favorite shows.
Fuck yeah.
Vikings, Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad. These are my shows, right? On my day off. I'm a big gamer, so I play with my son. I got a little boy he's 8 years old, and so I play games with him and chill with him, and that's about it, really, on day offs. You're so busy in the week training tight. Come nighttime, you're kind of like tired, right? You train like 2-3 times a day. You get home in the week, you're like tired. So on the weekends and I'm off, I get to spend time with my son and play games and take him to the park and all watching shows. So that's what keeps me interested in when I'm off.
And you're obviously, you've healed up from COVID too, right? Like, you had it, and like they say, there's like Shumayev has had some real issues with it, right? Like, it's the lingering effects. And have you felt any of those, or how bad did it hit you?
I did. I had it bad. I lost 6 kg. I don't know what's that in pounds. I lost 6 kg. My taste, my smell. Had the full 2 weeks off training. This was middle of my camp, and I kind of rushed back to training to try to complete my camp. But I just felt weak. My body felt weak. I couldn't breathe properly. So we decided to call the fight. But I haven't had no long lasting, like Chimaev's having, you know. I'm back to full health, my weight's back up, my strength is back up, and my breathing is back to normal since January. So I feel good and I'm back to normal. But I wish him well, you know. And
yeah,
obviously we were meant to fight, it didn't happen. And but his health is number one, right? So let him recover and hopefully he can
build that brain fog. Little brain fog, right? They say like the 13 pounds is what. So like, I guess even in healthy fighters, man, if it gets you wrong, it can be a lingering problem. So in a way, maybe you got lucky with it and you got rid of it.
Yeah, sure.
Now you're okay.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, I've had as bad as him. So I'm good.
Now, I'm sorry, Jimmy, but obviously, I used to fight and I never used to like the tour. I never used to like to talk about people go, well, if things go well, do you have a name? Because I'm like, look, man, I got this guy in front of me, so I don't like to do that. But in your case, is it just about moving up in the rankings, or is it like, I remember like Gamebred, you know, Jorge, you guys had that altercation. And as a guy, whenever somebody like puts their hands on you and you're not able to you know.
Yeah, I'm trying to get him. I've been calling to try to get him since since it happened, you know. I've went to the USA. I'm trying to get him, even inside or outside of Octagon. I'm going to get him, and I cannot wait.
Who wouldn't want to see that, Jimmy? Yeah. I mean, not for anything. Sometimes like you'll see them use like footage that you'd be surprised. Like, not that I want to see that again, Leon, but
you know
this fucking fight.
No, it'd be a good build up.
What's that?
Sure, it'd be a good build up. It'd be a big build up, right? It's a good fight. Like the fans want it. I want it. So we'll see. Hopefully somewhere down the line that happens, you know. I'm ready to go.
I think it has to be.
Yeah, it's going to be inside or outside the cage.
So everybody might as well do it without getting arrested and everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Make some money. You might as well get paid for it. What do you think about the top of the division too? I mean, Kamaru Usman has looked so good. I think he's such a solid champion. And what did you think about his last fight with Burns? What do you think?
It was an entertaining fight. I think it showed that he was tough, durable champion. Like you said, he's improved his striking a lot from last time we fought. But I think that's what's going to be his downfall, right? I think that he's going to fall in love so much with his striking. That's going to be his downfall. That's what I believe, you know. And but like you said, he's a good champion. I can't wait to get my rematch with him. He's the last guy to beat me 5-6 years ago. And I've rebuilt myself back up. I've worked hard, had nothing given to me. And I can't wait to get back in there with him and compete against him.
You raised an interesting point too about you think he might be too in love with the striking.
Yeah.
That does, and again, I've quoted DC multiple times, but in that fight with Stipe, he said that he fell in love with hitting him and didn't listen to his corner and go to the ground. Now, you see that happening to guys once in a while where they start to just love punching so much and the quick knockout that they
exactly. Grapple. Yeah, exactly. Especially guys that like he's getting like good finishes, right? He finished Colby, he finished Burns. So I think he's gonna fall in love with his hands and think, oh, I can strike at anybody, and that's gonna be his downfall. But we'll see. What do I know?
You might be right.
As a guy that knocked out a couple guys, you know, and then my last fight being Chris Lytle, who's got better hands than me, and I was like, afterwards, I should have shot.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a great fucking glass George fucking trig. Fucking Lytle could take. Once the guy started taking my punches, like, I should have added in some single legs.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see.
You might be in line next, though, Lee. If you have a good win against Bilal, and again, he's a very, very tough guy. But if you win, I mean, you against Usman were they going to give a Colby a rematch? Maybe, but I mean, Gilbert just.
Nah, yeah, it has to be me, right? Like after beating Bilal Saturday, that was 9 wins in a row. You know,
it should be you.
What more do I need to do to prove my case? I'm trying to call all these big names out. They all turned the fight down. I'm trying to fight number 13. You know, I'm proving to them that I am willing to fight any of these guys. I truly believe I am number one in my head. And it doesn't matter who's number two or number three. Just line them all up and I'll fight them all. So I believe I'm next and I deserve it. I worked my way for it. There's no handouts and I should be next.
Yeah, we both agree.
I was just going to say, I'm thinking about what you guys are talking about and what Leon's saying about Kamaru with falling in love with his hands. I'm not sure. I mean, think about what he did with Jorge. Jorge used the striking enough to get, and then he neutralized, he started using the takedowns, and because I feel he felt that he could nullify his ground attack and keep him down and win on takedowns. I believe because he trained so much with Gilbert, and Gilbert's such a high-level black belt, he probably got submitted a ton of times in his guard. So that's why you saw him not follow him down immediately.
Yeah, it didn't go down. With him, patience. Yeah.
So, I mean, listen, Leon, I just can't wait to see you back. I'm looking for, yeah. It's only a year, but it feels like longer. Like,
yeah, so it's been
a year and
just
a half.
Over a year. Yeah.
Was it like July, right? July of 2019?
Yeah, last time was July 2019 when I fought RDA.
So it's been a year and a half.
Yeah, a year and a half. So it's been a while. It's been a while, and I'm looking forward to going out there. I know everyone's talking about ring rust, and I don't really believe in it. I think people only use ring rust when it's time to when the guy loses, right? When the guy goes out there and look great, no one says ring rust. Oh, yeah. Dominic Cruz the other day, he done good. He won. Great. Islam, he fought the other day. He'd been out for 2 years. He looked great doing it. So I'm looking forward to going out there and performing. So it'd be good.
We'll talk to you on the other side, man. You know, we love you, and we're happy you're fighting again. And every time hear Leon Edwards, something happens, we're like, what the fuck? And now this fight is going to happen. So just, you know, just be really careful leading up to it. And we can't wait to see you finally fighting again, okay?
Good, man. Thank you, boys.
You put in the work training at the gym, on the court, at the track, wherever you go. You push your body to the limit. Now, maximize your results. Discover how to unlock your inner champion with Thorne's High Performance Sports Nutrition Line. With the most comprehensive line of NSF certified for sport products on the market, Thorne is the unquestioned leader in both quality and innovation in sports nutrition. With pre-built fitness bundles like Thorne's Training Bundle, you can jumpstart your training and fitness routines and help take your performance to the next level. Don't trust your body to anything else. Choose the supplement brand with the extensive third-party testing and the highest level of certification recognized in pro sports. Choose Thorne, the official sports performance nutrition partner of the UFC. Visit Thorne.com and use the promo code UFC10. That's T-E-N for 10% off. That's promo code UFC10. And you get 10% off, and Matt and I get the credit, and that's all that matters.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I'm really happy. Matt, you and I've said it 1,000 times, but that poor guy, I want to see him get the love that he should be getting because he's a tremendous, tremendous fighter. So good for him.
Yeah, dude. I how can you not like that guy? He's a true fighter. And, you know, the guy needs some respect on his name. You know what I mean? You gotta put some respect on his name.
And fight fans know who he is and love him. It's like Kamaru Usman, you know, but sometimes these guys, if they're not as loud or they're not as shit talk guys, a lot of times the people who aren't really bigger fans aren't as familiar with him like they are the guy who talks a lot. But guys like Usman feeling he's not getting respect. I mean, that's like crazy. Like, who doesn't respect Kamaru Usman? Like, you know,
man, how do you not? I respect him, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know, I try to respect everyone. Jimmy, what a night of fights the other night.
I didn't see them. Don't spoil it. Okay. It was tremendous. Oh,
and listen, I'm so happy for Aljo Sterling. Aljo is now a champion. I wish it happened under better circumstances.
Sure.
The people, you know, there's a lot of people out there taking cheap shots on this kid. And it's like, you know, how dare you, man? Like, oh, was he like, you know, they're trying to say he was like, oh, he got kneed and he deserves an Oscar, and they're attacking him. They're saying he's faking it. Even guys that you respect, like I heard big John McCarthy was saying something like, oh, I've seen a lot of people, you know, I'm just saying that, hey, dude, how dare you? Yeah, first of all, you might have been in there forever and since the beginning, but you never fought in there, dude. You were very close to it. Do you know what even like it's like to take a knee to the face like that to your big old Frankenstein head? You fucking, No, fuck that, man. Why is he attacking Aljo like that? That's not cool. I mean, you didn't take that. The knee was illegal. Does everybody admit that? The knee was blatantly illegal. And I feel, and listen, I'm not saying the kid, it was an illegal knee, but that Peter Yan, I don't think he thought it was an illegal knee. I truly believe he thought.
I think he fucked up. Yeah, he just
fucked up. But listen, what do you want to do? Want to get into the fights? We got to talk about it.
Yes. And I also like the fact that Aljo was laying back. I don't think if Aljo did that and he was flopping, he wouldn't have dropped the belt in the cage and walked out in tears. Like, that's not a guy who's flop. A guy who's pretending to be hurt would take the belt and say the right thing. But he dropped the belt and he was like, this is not what I wanted to. He was obviously visibly upset. And that was a brutal fucking knee. Again, I don't think Piotr Jan, especially after hearing his, I don't think he's an evil dude. I think that he was winning the fight, but I also think there was two rounds left and Aljo absolutely could have still submitted him.
Well, I want to talk in detail about that fight, but let's just start. We start with some of the prelims because we don't have to talk about all of mine. We got a big, thing to talk about here.
Sure.
A couple of things that stood out for me. Where's the kid from Philadelphia? Sean Brady defeated, first of all, Jake Matthews just beat, he was coming off a win of Diego Sanchez. And, that kid's a young stud, And, Sean Brady, this kid from Philly.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, he's under my buddy Daniel Gracie. And let me tell you something. He's doing very well for himself. He's an undefeated kid. And his striking the takedowns and then ultimately, which led to an arm triangle in the third round. I mean, it was just a great, it was a beautiful performance.
Right.
Pretty much flawless. I mean, the guy just totally dominated a very, very tough fighter in Jake Matthews. So I can't wait to see what's next for Sean Brady in the welterweight division is fucking getting stacked, man.
Yeah, it really it's crazy. Is. It is crazy. Yes.
That dude, I like that Sean Brady, man. Tough kid from Philly. I like him a lot.
Yes, and another Kai Kara France over Rogério Bontorin. What an incredible! And he was getting his ass kicked. Yes. He was literally being dominated that entire first round.
Not the best.
5 seconds left, he gets up, and you knew Kara France had a punch, but after being so thoroughly dominated on the ground for as long as he was, a very, very impressive first round win.
Jimmy, did you see? I don't want to kill this guy's name because he deserves a lot of respect. I'll say his opponent, he lost, was Carlos Olberg. Oh, my good. Did you see that fight?
I did, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What a great fight. In the beginning, it looked like Carlos Olberg was going to just – he's from City Kickboxing with the champ, Israel Adesanya and them.
Yep.
And they were talking great about him. And he looked great. He was on him. And it looked like Kennedy was kind of just at one point just covering up. And it's like, oh, this is going to be stopped. And that happened more than once. And then he came back and then in such fashion, once you think it's about to be over. And all of a sudden he came back to life again. You know what I mean? And then he ultimately just knocked him out in the second round, TKO. But man, that was a fun one, Jimmy. And that guy's such a nice, on the post-fight talking to Joe Rogan, he's all polite. He's such a nice, polite guy. Yeah. What a nice guy. And what a dangerous guy. Listen, we got to talk about Dominic Cruz with defeating Casey Kenney. Come on, man. Yeah. First of all, Casey Kenney's a game fighter.
Yes, he is.
You know what I mean? But Dominic was looking great, man. Dominic was really, he's not looking for no easy fights on his way back up to that title that he had.
Were you surprised that there was a 28-29 there? Like, okay, well, he won 29-28, 30-27, Dominic. But then someone saw it. How is it a split decision? Maybe I love Dom so much, but I thought that was a clear Cruz win. I mean, I'm surprised somebody split 28-29.
Yeah, I mean, Casey was plotting and coming forward, and some people might give it for that. But Dominic, that's not Dominic's style. Dominic's all over the – Dominic's right. Fun. Dominic's all over the – I love his style.
Yeah.
And then he's winged. Dude, he's winging those punches. I mean, he's got a unique style, and people try to emulate it. Or there's some guys, oh, he's kind of like Dominic Cruz. And even Casey Kenney was kind of saying, like, all right, it might have been, something kind of like not special back then, but people are used to it now. Not quite. Dominic still has his own unique style of fighting.
Yeah.
Unique to Dominic. And that's what makes him so dangerous. And I love, I enjoyed that fight. I thought that was a, an exciting fight, man. And it was a competitive fight, but I do believe Dominic won. And I love that Dominic is in the mix. I like, I like Dominic. I like him. He's funny.
And he looked good. And you're right. Those weird movements. It's like trying to figure out like Wonder Boy or even like a guy like Lando Venata, these guys that have these weird, or another guy you love, Tim Elliott. Elliott, very dominant over Jordan Espinoza. That was a very dominant win.
1.30-25 on one. You know, you got to like that. You know, that James Krause is doing wonders.
Yeah, he's great.
His team, you know. And what I like about them, like when things go wrong, they're not, no excuses or anything. They're just like, all right, man, proud of him. He tried it, didn't work out. Maybe, you know, something went wrong in there, and we'll just get back on that horse.
Right.
Rachik versus Santos wasn't exactly what we thought. Maybe a little bit, you know.
Rakish sent was very, very slow fight. I originally had Rakish picked, and then I went to Thiago. But again, watching the fight, like a minute into it or 2 minutes into it, you're like, are his legs 100%? Because one thing he would do is throw those fucking murderous leg kicks. And it seems like he was hesitant. And maybe because, again, Rakic is so much longer, but he didn't seem ready to throw them. And I'm wondering if maybe he had his legs are just not 100% where they would be. And maybe age has gotten him a bit. But yeah, I thought that it was kind of an uneventful fight. It didn't suck. Two guys in there trying to knock each other out. But sometimes I think with these fights, when there are bigger implications, at times I think guys are a little cautious. And again, maybe I would be too. I'm not criticizing them, but sometimes that makes for a slower fight. I think when both guys are really feeling each other out, because the implications of winning and losing are big. Sometimes that makes guys, I think, a little gun shy.
Yeah, but I mean, I think this Rachik is so skilled.
Yeah,
I think he's doing enough to win. And I feel when he's winning, he knows he won. He's putting his arms up. I did it. And it's great. Dude, listen, you're fighting murderers in there. I get it. But I feel if he just took a little bit more risks, he'll be getting some fucking highlights. I mean, but listen, to hurt somebody, you got to be there to get hurt. So without the risk, you know, there's no reward. But I believe he's got the skills to do that. He's already shown how he can lay people. And, you know, Thiago's, you know, Santos also, you know what I mean? But I think this Rakic. What is it?
Rakic. I think it's Rakic. Yeah.
Okay. I was about to sing, let's call the whole thing off, but I controlled myself, Jimmy.
You should have. I would have enjoyed it.
It's very easy for me to break in the soul, but I kind of try to.
I don't disagree. I mean, and I think when you break in a song, Matt, it's always.
Thank you, Jimmy. Why?
Nice. I mean, I don't think anybody dislikes it.
So you want basically more of it in this podcast?
No.
Is that what you're saying, Jimmy? I'm picking up what you're laying down for me. You want more of my singing, Jimmy?
Well, yeah.
Okay. Listen, you know who I absolutely love to watch fight? And the takedowns are so creative, it feels like. It's so, what a, talk about getting the fight to the floor without exerting energy, just showing beautiful technique. Islam!
Yeah, boy. Drew Dober got really... And as dangerous as Drew Dober is, he was really, really handled.
What did Islam Makhachev say to Drew Dober?
What did he say to Drew Dober?
What did he say? What did Islam Makhachev say to him when he took him down?
I hope it doesn't rhyme, does it? I hope it doesn't rhyme.
I was about to do it. Anyway, listen, he didn't say nothing to him. But listen, you know what I was going to say. Now you just ruined it. You ruined my
own. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to. Go ahead. Well, say it again. Say. Move over, Drew Dober.
Well, I don't think I sound like that. But listen. I was so impressed with Islam. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Yep.
You know, I love seeing Habib in his corner, you know. And I'll tell you, man, I can't wait to see him fight again. I wonder who's next for him. He was calling out Tony Ferguson.
Yeah, he was.
What's wrong with that fight, Jimmy? What's wrong with that fight?
Yeah, does Ferguson have anyone lined up or no?
I don't know, but he likes the scrap.
Yeah, he does.
That would be a fucking fantastic fight. I cannot wait to see Islam Makhachev fight again. I don't think he's injured. Let's book him back right away. I got to see that guy fight again. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yeah. Seeing Drew Dober dominated like that. You were right. You thought it was going to be Makachev, and I thought it was going to be Dober. I did a terrible job picking fights. Everyone I picked was wrong, except for Aljo, and I certainly didn't pick it the way it was going to happen. And my Nunes pick was very good, but everything else.
We're going to talk about that in a second. But I'm just saying, yeah. Drew Dober's not – he doesn't look like an easy guy you can go in and just pick up and have him fall down.
No.
You know what I mean? Don't let those model good looks fool you. That guy will just right. – he's not an easy guy to put on his back, and he's a powerful kid. So, I mean, it was – I mean, that's why whenever you see a victory, you look at, you know, who the guy's facing. So when I see him take out Drew Dober like that, I'm like, man, wow. And he did it pretty handedly, you know. And it's almost like, all right, wait, what's next for Islam? I can't wait to see what's next. I can't say enough about that guy.
Yeah, no, he looked he was devastating. Because, again, you don't see a guy like Drew Dober dominated very often. And I guess we should go into the three main fights, the three title fights. I guess, do you want to start with we've touched on Petr Yan Aljo, but would you like to discuss Aljo more, or do you want to talk about the main event or co-main first, whatever you want?
We'll talk about all three of them. So whatever, I want to talk about the main event, and we'll just do it like downward.
Well, let's get this fast one out of the way. Amanda Nunes, I mean, what can you say? She's just a murderer, and it took her 2 minutes to do it. Megan Anderson, again, could have easily dropped a horrible leg kick on her, but I think that she stunned her very early. She got a hold of her and hit her, and I think that it was just too much. There's no one else in 145 for her to fight.
Reverse triangle, Jimmy. A reverse triangle. I mean, dude, I love jiu-jitsu. I mean, she just looks so – man, talk about someone who knows how to fight.
Yeah, but she was she was in pain from getting – she got hit. Like, she was really – they said that was merciful. It was almost merciful that she submitted her and didn't pound her out.
How cute was it when she brought her baby in the cage?
I know.
Megan's going over there. She's saying hello to the baby. I mean, that's so cute, you know?
It is nice, yeah. I love that Amanda's so happy. And it's funny. You're like, well, how will it affect her? How will motherhood – you never know. I mean, will it make her – all happy and less of a killer? No.
More of a lioness.
Yeah.
Probably goes out there thinking someone's going to mess with my cub, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I tried to work off the lioness.
No. I understood.
Your buddy Bobby Kelly. You could boo me. I could take it.
No, I know. But that wasn't that bad. And I would love to boo, but I did kind of
cringe a little.
I did understand. Oh. By the way, men's pound for pound. Okay.
What?
No, I was looking at the pound for pound rankings and I didn't see Amanda, but then I realized I was looking at men's for pound. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, Jimmy. So listen, Juan Blachowicz versus Israel Adesanya. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a very technical fight.
Yeah.
I love Israel. First of all, good for you, Izzy. Good for you. You're not afraid to lose, to put yourself out there and try to risk some greatness.
That's right.
Listen, he even said it best. He lost, but he didn't get an ass whooping.
No,
you know what I mean? They could still be fighting right now if there was no rounds. You know what I mean? If there was like unlimited rounds, who knows? Right. So when you lose like that, yeah, you got outpointed. You might have got a little bested, but you know, nobody's losing any respect for you. You know what I mean? Nobody's saying, "Wow, he's not as dangerous because he didn't take out this huge Polish monster Viking."
I'll tell you when I got a little worried for him, as far as when he weighed in at 200. Again, because you know Blachowicz is going to walk around at 215, 220. And I think it showed a little bit when they were in the cage, that little bit of size. And I think some of those shots might have dropped somebody else because his striking was very good. He looked really good striking. And he won, definitely won the first two rounds, I thought. But apparently they didn't see it that way. I thought he won the first two rounds. And Blachowicz definitely won the final two. I almost might have given... Yeah, I mean, I didn't understand 49-45. I didn't understand how they only gave him, I guess it was a 9-9 or something. I didn't quite understand how that happened.
Man.
The scoring. Some of the scoring I didn't quite get.
Let me see here. No, Jimmy, I think some of this, one judge was definitely off, I think, you know?
Right? But, I thought it was by one round.
It was the just decision, though. John won the fight. And Izzy, you know, no respect lost there. I mean, no.
No, he looked great.
But Yan Blachowicz is showing that, hey, man, you're not going to come in here and just take my title. I was running up the mountains in Poland. I mean, you know, what do you think? I'm taking fucking ice baths. What do you think? I'm just going to hand you my belt, Jimmy?
and put him on the ground and did what he had to do in those final two rounds.
Yeah.
You know, and again, against a guy who's that much heavier, I think it's probably just later in the rounds harder for him to get Blachowicz off, you know, being tired, being deep into the fight, and a guy who's probably 20 pounds heavier at fight time than other people laying on him that he's used to fighting.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Back to Aljamain versus Petr Yan. Let's talk about the fight.
Yes.
Aljo came out with the foot on the gas, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Really just putting it on him. But to Petr Yan's credit, he didn't just go back after him crazy because he'll be put right on his ass. Aljo will go underneath shit. So he was very patient. Even taking a few, but patient. He took a knee to the head. Patient, and then when it's time to strike, fuck. First of all, as a fan from watching from the outside, how do you not fucking love that kid? Fucking Petr Yan's a fucking savage.
He is, and his takedown defense was good. He had really great takedown defense against a guy who is better than almost anybody at jumping on your back. He was, and I think he dropped Aljo once with one shot, if I remember correctly, but his striking is like, it's like a piston. I mean, and he's very, very accurate. And you're right. Extremely patient,
But
yeah, very smart.
Because listen, Aljo doesn't have to take you fully down. You expose your back to him. A lot of guys aren't good. If they jump up on your back, it's not a good thing because they can get tired. Next thing you know, they're losing. Not Aljo. You show him your back, he's on it, and he's not getting off until you're fucking strangled or unless the round ends and you survive. So this kid knew that. He knew that. So when I'm watching up against the cage, I'm like, all right, here's Aljo's going to – now this is where he takes the back. This is where – and that kid knew. Like, he'd rather take a punch or a knee on the way up. He was very smart not to expose that back. He even said that afterwards, I believe, that he just didn't want to expose the back to Aljo. So, I mean, this is some high level. Aljo's talking about doing chess lately. This is some high level chess game in there. This is, these guys both know their greatest strengths, you know, but you know, to credit Aljo standing up, man, I think he was putting it on him. Like, but, you know, and again, with the champ being, the then champ, but Petr Yan being just patient and waiting for his opening. So I loved the fight. It was a great fight up until the controversial ending. I mean, listen, there's nothing controversial about that knee, whether if it was an illegal knee or it was illegal. Do I think that Petr Yan 100% thought the hand was up and he thought it was a legal knee. He didn't, I don't think he's trying to take a cheap shot or do anything like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't like people questioning Aljo if he was hurt or not.
Nah, he got drilled. When he knew he was a downed thing, like that was a drilling, falling back. You could see how dizzy he looked, and the way he dropped the belt in the cage, like that's not you. Those two things don't go together. Him taking the knee and pretending to be hurt does not go hand in hand with crying and dropping the belt. Those go hand in hand with he was more hurt and incapacitated by that than he wanted to be. And, you know, he was just devastated to have to win that way. He didn't want to win that way.
You can tell that. I mean, listen, I mean, who wants to win that? Nobody wants to. Hey, listen, he didn't throw the knee. Like, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You know, in the future, we're not going to be standing on all fours, I recommend, you know, but like, it's not a great place to be, you know?
It was interesting when he was down. What did you think of that, Matt? When Aljo was on the ground and Jan was playing it very smart, kicking, being really cautious about how he was kicking Aljo's legs and then backing up. And then Herb Dean would let Aljamain up. At that time, he just, I guess, Khabib said he called to his corner and his corner said it's okay to... So I guess it was a miscommunication.
The Brazilian guy from American Top Team, Parumpa, I believe his name is. They get a little nickname. He's like my height. Jimmy's like our height. He's a little guy.
Yeah.
And he's very good at jiu-jitsu, black belt. You heard him saying, just punches. Uh-huh. But then I think the other Russian coach told him to kick. Because when he did do it, you see Parumpa like hold his head like he knew it was fucked up. And you see the other coach like, yay, what do you mean? No, like he didn't know. They're almost like Jan. Jan's putting his hand up during the thing. I don't think that guy.
I was like, what the fuck is he doing?
He doesn't know.
But did the guy not know, his coach not know the rules?
I know, man, but this guy's got a street fighter mentality. I think he knew the rules where he was really specific on the guy's hands. He goes, I was concentrating on him when his hand came up. So I think he didn't really concentrate on the lower body. That's what he said.
Okay, on the knee, yes. Okay.
So listen, man, I'm very happy. Like Aljo put a lot of work into getting this belt.
He did.
So he's got to defend the belt. And now
against Jan, first fight
against Jan. Yeah, you know. And what am I going to do, Jimmy? I got to, I talked to you a little bit before this whole thing, you know what I mean? And I appreciate you being a good friend because, I can be sensitive, Jimmy.
That's okay. Of course.
Now, this is the thing. Let me tell you a little bit about Aljo. Aljo is a great guy. Aljo's a good human being. He's got a big heart. He helps out the other teammates. He helps out like the wrestlers, like in the wrestling club or whatever. And I believe he has the ability to hold on to this belt for a long time in a stacked division. Right. You understand? I think he can hold on to this belt and get better and better from here. And people are going to think of that. They're not going to think of this about the time where he took the knee and questioned anything about him after some future fights. You know what I'm saying? Because then they'll be like, all right, this is what we're dealing with. So I think it's the best is yet to come for Aljo. I think he's going to hold on to this belt and he's going to defend it. And there's some epic wars to come. You know what I mean? So it's going to be great to watch. You know what I mean? Having said that, I love this kid and I've been with him since his UFC career, myself and Ray Longo, and let me just explain a little something with the Cerro Longo team. Well, what kind of separates us from different teams is, I never set out to make any kind of super team or anything. It was always just myself and Ray Longo working with some neighborhood kids that, got some dreams in fighting. Like, in other words, we take just regular, like not regular guys, but like say just guys from the neighborhood. Like, I don't know where Luke, I think Luke was from New Hyde Park. And next thing you know, we're taking this kid who's a little wacky and a little nerdy and people wouldn't think he could even fight. Next thing you know, he's in the finals of the Ultimate Fighter season 2. And even before that, Pete Drago Cell, young, one of my, jiu-jitsu students, and he's getting into MMA and he's doing good on the local circuit. Phil Baroni needs a last minute replacement. We believed in Drago that he could handle this, and Drago went in there and he got an upset. And then it started rolling. And then next thing you know, we got this tough kid in the gym Longo's telling me about. And it's Ally Aquinta from Wantor. All right, and then there's Chris Wyman coming from Baldwin. And then, this truck from Freeport. And this is all Long Island. This is Strong Island. So we're not out enlisting people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is guys that just homegrown guys. And let's see where we can take this, man. Me and Longo would always say, this is fucking great, man. What we're doing. First of all, it's the kids. It's the guys. It's the kids being talented. But it's like, look, man, like, this is working out well. And then me and Longo, listen, I'm not judging anybody. Guys got to make livings how they make livings.
And, sure.
But I'm lucky enough to have my school. I lost one to the pandemic, but I have my school and it's a good livelihood. And I get to teach, I get to empower people with jiu-jitsu. Like, and that is just a win-win. Like, just everyday people. I like teaching everyday people, like as much. And I like teaching the fight team. And the fight team, it's like, man, I get the best of both worlds, man. I get to just teach my jiu-jitsu. And then the fight team comes over, we hone their jiu-jitsu. And then and with Longo working the stand up, a lot of these guys have wrestling backgrounds. Like it ended up being a pretty good recipe. And myself and Ray Longo in the corner over, I mean, we worked, I don't know how many, I mean, Aljo alone, I think we worked his whole UFC career, like maybe 9 fights. I don't know what it was. Like from his first fight up until like, you know, his last fight with Cody before this, we weren't, because of the COVID, things got a little jammed up. Like, and we weren't there for his, Corey Sanhagen,
right.
Yeah. But besides that, we've been in every one of his fights in his corner, sure. You know? And like, you know, we're proud of everybody, man. Look how far we're taking this, you know? And, you know, I couldn't be in Chris Weidman's corner that time because I remember I had that blood clots and I had to get a rib removed. I had
right.
I had a procedure I had to get done. So I missed that. But listen, it's all good. And I understand, you know, I'm the kid, you know, he's a champion. It's beautiful. And now here we are with Aljo. And I'm going to be totally honest with you, man. Like, I'm upset that I wasn't in the corner. Like, I'm upset that like, after being with this kid, this whole journey, that it wasn't like it's one thing because of the COVID that, you know, yeah, he needs sparring partners and
sure.
Like, he wants to, and I, whatever's best for get this kid that goal to get is what it's about. But, you know, like, you know, I see that you got 4 corners and like, it was upsetting where you get so like, I'm not attacking. This is all kind of on Aljo. Like, you make decisions and it doesn't mean he's a bad person, but you know, I've been on this, you know, I was with him in fucking Missouri fighting Augusto Mendez and fuck. I've been with him on this whole fucking journey, me, him and Longo. And I felt like this was part of this thing of ours. You know what I mean? Right. And look how far we took it. So it's like the way it went down, like I find, like, you know, a week before now he splits up the camps with Vegas, which was never done before. So, you know, I'm in Abu Dhabi a couple of weeks. I get back for a couple of weeks. And then next thing you know, he's off to Vegas. I would have had another 30 days with the kid. But, you know, the way it went down that I found out I was out, because out of the corner could have been done a little better. It just, the whole thing could have been done a little bit more respectful. Like, you know what I mean? And again, it doesn't mean this is, you know, I'm not a perfect dude. Like, I understand, you know, but like, you know, I'm like 5 weeks out of the fight, I'm getting a message like, yo, from his manager, you know, in a group text with him and her, with me and Longo. And hey, when are you coming out? You know, when do you want us to book the flights? The next week I find out like I'm not in the corner, which is very, so it's like, I haven't seen him this much. But I'm finding out through Longo that found out through this kid, Steven, who found out from out. It's like, wait a minute, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a little upsetting. So it's like, you know, I don't want anybody to look at the kid differently. He's a good kid. He's a fucking great. I love everybody involved, but like when that happens for whatever reason, you know what I mean? And then there's nobody kind of saying, hey man, don't you think this guy who's been with you the whole time, who loves you, that don't you think this guy that's, I mean, listen, I mean, I'm not, I don't, first of all, the second I feel that somebody doesn't want me in the corner, I'm out already. Like, emotionally, I'm out.
You don't want to be there, right?
I'm fucking trying to get my head in the face. What am I, Paulie from Rocky One? Hey, the meat guy's trying to stick his face in. I'm not that guy. Jimmy, you like that? Yeah. I see myself enough, Jimmy. I see, listen, I mean, I don't need any more popularity, dude. I'm good. I thought this was something we were all in together. So if you think it, I mean, like if you think it doesn't hurt, like if it was like, I'm not attacking anybody specifically because Aljo made these choices. But like, you know, when I found out I wasn't in it, I give Aljo a call and I feel stupid because I made a call right before that, leaving a nice message. And then I got the call from Longo, who was kind of like, what the hell? Like, and you know, Longo's kind of like, you know, how are you out of the corner? It's your team. And I'm like, you fucking tell me. I don't, you know, but listen, Jimmy, at the same time, I don't want nobody's head fucked up before the fight. So I'm not, what am I saying? I'm not going to attack nobody. I left a message for Aljo. Listen, man, I love you. And, you know, I found out that I'm not in there, but you know, anything I could do for you, you know, you don't want to get this kid's head weird.
Before. Right. You want him to be ready.
I'm popping my fucking feet being like, I want to be, you know?
Right.
I'm like, you know, but, you know, like when I, you know, so when I gave Aljo a call and he's like, you know, I'll call you You know, he just got to Vegas. So he's like, you know, I'm in front of my kid's little gym. She's doing she does a little gymnastics for an hour and I'm parked out in front. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I'm getting all this, you know, it's crazy. Like, cause the week before I was going. So, you know, I call Laujo again. I left that night another message like, you know, hey man, it's all, you know, but I'm here for you either way. Anything you need of me, you know? Cause I know I told Laujo before, like he left a few weeks before he left, like, look, man, I know because of the COVID shit's crazy. So if you need to use bodies or something, you know, I understand, you know, but like, you know, when you've been with a guy for that long, and so, hey, hold on. So when Aljo called me, now, first of all, he texted me, all right, man, I'll find a quiet spot and I'll give you a call. But then I didn't hear from the kid for 3 days. So it's like, how do you like, listen, I don't want to be an oversensitive, whatever, but how do you think those nights were sleeping? I mean, I'm just more hurt. Like, I'm like, dude, what are you, like, I don't know, man. I know you're busy. I know things are going on, but like, I got to know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm not, like, you know, so then when I talked to him, you know, we talked a little bit and then he explained with the other sparring partners and, you know, this and that. And so I'm like, all right, look, I understand. If it's about that, I understand. So then when I look on the thing and I'm watching, and listen, I have nothing against Eric Nixick. I think that guy was on the show. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
It's not his fault. Like, this guy, Aljo, went there. But it's like, hey, man, you're going to have this guy that you've been working for with, like, what, I don't know, 3 or so months? And I've been with you for 7 years? I mean, you don't think I took, like, if that's what you truly want, I understand. I can see you're bonding. That's a cool thing. But really, like, I don't know, man. Like, all right. Like, now this is the thing. Now this is no longer this thing of ours with mine and Longo. Now I'm like, it's just, and that's cool. Like, we did this in the intention of helping these guys reach their goals.
Right.
But at the same time, you can't help but feel a little disrespected. I mean, you're with this kid from his first fight in the UFC. I mean, it's like, we could point to one time where I maybe missed the sparring session in 7 years, or you could point to the times I was been there all the time. And, you know, I take time away. I got a family, you know, you travel, you go, and you do it proud. You do it because you're backing up your guy, man. At the end of the day, it's me and Longo taking our guy to the flagpole versus another savage. That's what it is, you know, unless you make it something else. So, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. I was a little hurt, but, I love everybody involved. And this is just kind of, maybe this is just like, you got to know when it's time. Like, when people make choices, there's consequences. So it's like, I can understand maybe nobody wanting to say anything on my behalf because they don't want to fuck this kid's head up for the fight.
Sure.
And I can understand that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you know, I would have handled things differently if the shoe's on the other foot. Like, you know, but I, you know, my thing is going forward, you know, I think it's better now just to make an exit, like, you know, on a high note. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I always loved cornering, but like, what's going on for the next fight? Is it me and Eric Nixick doing rock, paper, scissors to see who fucking gets in the corner?
Right.
I mean, Jimmy, I got a family. I don't need to take, I mean, I will always, always be in this kid's corner. Always. Just not physically anymore. I'm not going to physically be there, Jimmy, but I will, and not by my choice, by the choices that were made here. So I'm just going to retire altogether from the whole corner thing. Like, so, because people, you know what it is? People are asking me, man, where were you? You don't want to. So it's almost like, I don't, and it's all good. Like, how about this? And this is not, again, because we're such homegrown dudes and this and that, if that's Rage and Al in the corner, I don't think I'm, and I'm not attacking, this is not this guy's problem.
No, you know, even privately, you didn't attack anybody. Even when we spoke, you didn't attack anybody, even privately in conversation.
But it's like, you know, what do you do? Like, if you're me, you go, okay, all right, maybe next time if I'm a good boy, I get to be in the... get the fuck out of
here. Yes.
Jimmy, I don't need that shit, man.
You'd rather remove yourself from the equation.
Well, I think it's better because, you know, I understand everybody's kind of point of view to a degree. I think things should have been handled a lot better. I'm not fucking perfect at all. But, you know, there's times over the last 7 years where, you know, there's a fight or two I could have took off, maybe. But there's no way I wouldn't be there for my guy. You know what I mean? And I'm not starting to point out, oh, but I did this for you and you did this for me. No, it's not about that. I like positivity in my life. When I teach my jujitsu, when I'm at my school, I have such a good time. And nothing changes for these young guns. Because we have such nice, like that kid who was in the corner also, Dennis Bazooka, you know, I love that kid. He's coming up the right way. And this kid, Pumi, who's a fucking beast. He's fighting for the title soon at the CFFC. So it's like, I love all these. These guys are great guys. You know what I mean? So like my schools, I'm going to be doing the same thing I always did. I'll be working with these guys at my school. They want to come to my school. Oh, fucking hey, man. Work with the Mike's. I got a school. It's almost like if you want to go to Gleason's to work your hands for boxing. Like my school's jiu-jitsu. Yeah. Like that's so I got guys that are just Jason Rao, Nick Ronan. These guys are like world-class limb takers. So, I mean, you know, that's where Aljo's been, you know, like getting his, you know, blade sharpened and getting forged into like, you know, partly like, you know, into the fighter he is. So like when you put a lot of like time like this and it's something you're happy to do, but then you see like a countdown special, not the countdown special. I see that and it's a great show. It's the anatomy of a fighter. Fucking, like it's great. But and now again, Aljo went there, but you're not a product of Extreme Couture. I mean, let's be honest. Because you got Nick Sick, and I like Nick Sick. It's not his fault. They got a camera in his face. And they're asking, you know, they're talking, I guess maybe his philosophy and this and that. And the guy seems like a great trainer. But at one point, you know, anybody, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but you find out of, they fight somebody from Extreme Couture, they better know they're getting, like, I don't know, their soul taken or some shit like that. And then they have Aljo doing the ropes or something. It's like, wait a minute. What, your brand's on? Hey, wait, I know. Who's holding the pants for Aljo with the dreadlocks? Oh, it's Dewey Cooper. Yeah, I remember him. He was in fucking Kevin Lee's corner when he's trying to look for have the demise of your best friend, Raging Al. Like, I don't fucking... Now he's fucking holding the pants for Aljo. Due to John Jones. What the fuck? What are we talking? Yeah, Jimmy, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just fucked up.
Think you're fucked up, no.
Who the fuck are these? Listen, these are nice guys. But not to take Jeremy Steven, not to take fucking Connor's line from that thing, but who the fuck are these guys? They weren't with us in fucking Guam and fucking Arizona and fucking, I don't know, Bumblefuck coming up. Like, you know what I mean? So I'm a fucking hermit. I'm a very social guy, like in settings, but at the same time, dude, I'm with my team. When I see everybody, I love everybody, but. You know, I'm corny versus these guys. I mean, they're nice guys. What the fuck? When I watched that corner the other night, I'm seeing Longo stand on one fucking podium and thing. I see Eric in the other one. The other guy's like, what the fuck? This wasn't what I was a part of, man. So it's like, I think it's better to make everybody's, I don't, you don't want to feel that again. You get like, you know what I mean? I'd rather just.
Maybe not there, Matt, but like you have other guys. And like what you bring in a corner, like, so you don't hear this because I'm watching the fights. They're always complimenting the shit you say in the corner. Like a lot of the guys, the announcers know, like that was great corner advice by Matt Serra. Like, so there's a lot of people that see the things you do in a corner and you give legitimately good. They always compliment the things you're saying in the corner. So it's like, do you want these other fighters to not have the ability to get that from you because you bring a lot to these guys?
No, I understand, Jimmy. And I will listen. First of all, Raging Al, Marab, fuck it. I love these guys. I went around the world with these guys, man. Like we have such a bond, man. And I would do anything for them, but it's our thing's always been based on like, you know, you can't throw that word family around too much. Like, I don't like, you know what I mean? Like I thought we were really tight. Like we are a tight family. Like that's what I felt. And then there's other, I don't know, man. Like, I felt like, I don't know. It was very, the way this went down was, I had to keep my mouth shut for 30 days because I don't want to get this kid's head fucked up to be like upset, to let him know I was this upset. But other people do know I was this upset. So my point is, how can I work the corner for these other guys when I know like my back was, and it's not them. It's not these guys. It's not their fault. But I knew nobody had my back in this, even for the right reasons. Longo doesn't want to fuck up anything for Aljo. I know that. He knows Aljo's dream. And I understand that. But it doesn't change the choices that were made where I was kind of just... I didn't want to talk about this before because now I don't want this to be a fucking story. But Jimmy, people are going to keep asking me for the... Oh, you're in the next one? Or it's easier for me just to say that I'm retired from the coaching game. Myself and Ray Longo... I mean, I have memories in coaching that are as strong as some of my greatest victories. Yes, right. Even the Frank Trigg knockout. No, seriously, dude. I mean, yeah. Like, you know, Marab had the first fight ever in Russia in the UFC and the first victory ever. You know what I mean? And, you know, I mean, Chris Weidman, taken out of all the Brazilian legends, and his fight with Machida was something that was never seen up until that point, the way he blended his boxing and his wrestling. And it was something to be, something to just be a part of, you know? I mean, what could I say about, I mean, Aljo, what about Aljo coming back after a couple, it's not always about the good times.
Right.
What about Aljo coming back after like a couple of hard losses, lessons learned, head is his hand, head in his hands, in the back, where do I go from here? And then, you know what? He fucking dusted himself off. He fights an undefeated guy in Brett Johns, the Pikey, and he fought great. He fought fucking fantastic. And then the next fight after that, even better. And next, you know, he's on a tear. And it was great. And right. then, I mean, and not for nothing, I can't say enough about Raging Al with, the, you know, when he's, I mean, listen, I'll remember in my rocking chair when he's fucking, one of my memories I will always stay with me is the ending of his second Kevin Lee fight, which was one of the coolest things I've seen a lot. That was one of the coolest things I ever fucking seen. So to be a part of all that, I feel extremely like lucky, Jimmy. I feel like,
yeah.
Because you know why? Because it was, and then afterwards we'd all get some pizza and we get home and it's just something to be a part of. You know what I mean? What I seen the other night and kind of the way this went down is not that. It's something different. And all I know is when I say about the thing with the analogy of the anatomy of a fighter and they kind of, I mean, again, it's not Dewey Cooper or the other guy or Eric's fault. Like Aljo went there. I understand, but it's like, it's not this little thing of ours. It's not this little thing of me and Longo's, you know, it's something different. And my point is this, why that irks me a little bit when I see that for the countdown special, because that could get him to the next level, which is fantastic, but that did not get him to the UFC title. That didn't get him there. You did that for maybe 3 months. I don't know how long you've been there. So, you know what I mean? So his hard work got him there, but you know, we were behind him, you know, I mean, so it's like, you know, just to be discarded when you get a fucking title shot, it's a little hurtful. I don't know. I mean, if somebody it would not be hurt by that, I don't think you got any feelings. And it's one thing if it was, how about this? If Raging Al's in the corner instead of Nick Sick, you're not hearing this. Because it's still all crew.
Sure, yeah.
You know what I mean? So you're getting a trainer that's been with you for a few months and you're like, yeah, you know what? This guy's showing me some TLC lately. Yeah, dude, listen, life gets crazy, man. Like, but, you know, I've been there the whole time. So it was kind of hurtful. So I love it. I think he's going to be a great fucking champion. I will always have his back. Anything he needs from me and my academy, my black belts. Dude, nothing's going to change as far as the training. It'll be in Long Island with us. But I'm just removing myself from this whole scenario. That way, man, I could just help people. Nobody's feelings are getting hurt. I'm not supposed to be there anyway now. I'm done with the
corner. What if there was another way?
Jimmy,
another setup to be in the corner. Would you ever want to do it again?
No, Jimmy, you got to understand I'm doing it for the love of it. I'm not getting rich off these guys. And these guys are always generous to me. They're always generous to me and Longo. They kick back. But nobody's saying, hey, man, no, it's not like that, man. Right. I'm doing it for the love of it. Like, I do it because I fucking love these guys. So it's like, but I'm not one of those, what have you done for me lately type guys? Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm a ride or die. So when I don't get feel, I get shown the same kind of like loyalty and respect. And don't get me wrong. I want my guys, me and Longo, we're not like a, dude, spread your wings. I mean, we let our guys, like Al, after the Ultimate Fighter, he wanted to spend time. He spent like a month over in Uriah's house. We love Uriah Faber. You love the alpha males. It's not about not being able to cross train, like, you know what I mean? Difference is, Al didn't come back and throw me out and put fucking Uriah Faber, you know what I mean? But I'm only kidding. But, you know, like, I mean, you know, Marab's funny. Marab's always training, you know, he gets a lot of work in at Ryan LaFlair's school at Long Island MMA, which I just talked to Ryan LaFlair, and I'm going to go visit him down there because we've been, I never seen his school. He never seen mine. And we're so close and we're very friendly. So I want to, that's just my ADD kicking in, but I got to call him. But, you know, so it's like, we're not like insecure about getting other work. When Aljo's gotten work with Max Holloway before, I think more than once.
Right.
Yeah. He was in Ireland and Aljo worked with John Kavanaugh and John. And I actually, you know, Connor's guy, you know, SPG. What's the name of it?
The name of the gym.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of the gym, but I remember Aljo being on talking to us about the gym. I remember him being on talking about how generous they were and how nice
Aljo.
They were. And yeah.
Listen, man, Aljo's my man. How many times did he co-host with me? I love Aljo's my black belt. I love the kid, you know? But
he co-hosted with me too when you were gone.
Well, now that's just not right. Oh, look at Straight Blast Jim. Yeah. SPG. Straight Blast Jim. I wonder if that's because of I wonder if they named that because of the Jeet Kune Do Straight Blast they'd call, which I used to call the chain punch in Wing Chun. Anyway, let's just be thinking out loud. Ask Paul Vunak about it. Chikudo guy. But listen, so I mean, Aljo worked over there. I actually gave Kavanaugh a message and DM'd him about that. And the guy was very, we had a nice little back and forth. So it's not about getting to work elsewhere. But, you know, I mean, how many flags are you going to carry? Look, you know, I'm looking at the thing the other night. I see Aljo on the, I mean, I see Longo on the one thing. I see that guy Nixick on the other. And I don't know. I mean, it's just something I'd rather remove myself from and yet still help out behind the scenes. You know what I mean? We do, Jimmy. You don't need to hear this voice anymore fucking yelling shit.
I like hearing it yell shit.
You do because you love me.
But I don't need to hear it sing shit, but I do like to hear it yell shit. The singing I wouldn't miss. Jimmy, the yelling in the corner.
All I know is I was with Aljo in Arizona and Missouri. He had a friend in me. You know it, Jimmy. He had a... can we edit that out? Jimmy made like he left. No, listen, okay. He still does have a friend with me. I love this. And I told Aljo afterwards, I gave him a text like, look, man, we'll get a slice on your back and how's your head? But, you know, listen, man, I just can't.
Did he respond positively? Is he all right?
What's that?
Did he respond positively?
Man. Oh, no, man. Yeah, me and Aljo are cool. Yeah, he's like, yeah, listen, man. Like, you know, I'm not going to tell him strategy-wise what we talked about, but for the next fight, like what he was saying to me. But, you know, he was upset the way it went down and this and that, but you know, he didn't, you know, listen, man, he didn't throw that illegal strike. So I think right. People got to fucking chill out, you know?
Yeah.
And this is not a negative thing. This is just something I have to address. Cause everybody's always asking, where were you?
Yeah, sure.
Where were you? I'm like, the COVID. I mean, what the fuck am I supposed to do?
Jimmy, I missed my flight.
Yeah. I missed my flight. And I told Nixick to jump in there. Listen, I mean, come on, man. We gotta make this thing. I mean, myself and Ray Longo, literally, we produced a couple of champions. You know what I mean? Chris Weidman, Aljamain Sterling. And now once Aljo defends that belt, it'll be even better. And anything I could do to help him, I will. And that's from the heart, you know. But I'm removing myself from this scenario so we never need an awkward. Dude, it got awkward. It got fucking weird. I don't want it to get awkward again with any of my close friends. So it's a fucking win-win all around. You know what I mean? Jimmy?
Yeah, well, again, whatever decision you make, whatever decision you make, I just want you to be happy with it. Like whatever you decide to do, I mean, I just want you to feel good about it. Like whatever.
Don't you think that like when decisions are made, like there's got to be some consequences. Otherwise, you're just a cuck. No, I'm only kidding.
Well, coming from, let me point out from the cuck's point of view. No, you know, I guess it all depends, Matt. I absolutely know what you're saying too. So I'm not going to say you're not right. But I guess it depends. I don't understand a team dynamic like that because again, my job has always been different than that, but I've been in situations where I definitely got my feelings hurt. Yeah. And I know sometimes there are ways to readjust and continue and other times there are not.
No, I mean, Jimmy, the thing is this, what I talked about earlier with the guys, the homegrown guys, like, don't get me wrong. We had some guys organically come into the mix. I brought up that Dennis Bazooka from Staten Island. That kid would drive. He would drive over. He was in the white belt class. He did not take that gi off until he was told he was allowed to. And he would drive over to Staten. He had dreams of fighting. Next thing you know, he got that fourth stripe, took the gi off. He's doing everything the right way. Outranging Al's taking him under his wing. You know, Pumi could be a champion fucking in the UFC. Pumi's amazing. This young kid, he's fucking amazing. So, I mean, listen, I'm still going to work with these guys. I'm not leaving anybody hanging. Like, you know what I mean? But I'm saying, but my point is, like, these guys, like, came in, like, organically. And that's what separated us. Marab came from Georgia, but he's a brother, man. He became one of us. So it was our Strong Island crew, not recruiting nobody, not really, you know, just us. And I'll tell you right now, we had some pretty good results. You know what I mean? So, you know, I understand Aljo's point of wanting to, you know, go in Vegas and And I mean, he had a house in Vegas, so he was had to train anyway. But like, to want to get the feeling of new bodies because it makes you feel a little nervous. I understand that. Longo used to take me to Brooklyn, the Lou Neglias, and I used to spar guys that I didn't know. And it could be a little, it gives you that feel of the fight. But there's a big difference between that and getting a guy that's been with you for the better part of a decade out of there and getting somebody pretty fresh in. But you got to understand this. Whenever you're going to be a fucking, you're fighting for the championship belt, I'm just saying, man, everybody's on your dick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who was on you? I mean, remember the guy who was there, like, coming up? Like, and he's a loyal guy. Like, I'm not saying he's not a loyal guy. I'm saying in this circumstance, I don't want to be in this kind of circumstance ever again. Ever again. Jimmy, ever again. And I'm not breaking out the violin, but I don't need the feeling.
No, you're not. You,
I'm a happy guy. Jimmy, I'm a happy guy. You don't need to get me in the feels. Hit me right in the fucking feels. I don't usually say that. Does that make sense? No. I'm not going to say that again.
You can.
But I'm not going to just, yeah, it feels like your guts get ripped out. Like, they just get your guts and they rip them out and they just throw them on the floor. No, seriously, you feel kind of gutted, you know? And you know, I mean, listen, I don't need to be moping. Listen, I'm a friendly, I'm a happy guy. You don't want to see me fucking moping around the house. You think my poor wife needs to see me like that? Fucking, you know? They know when I'm sad, you know? I'm a simple man. So listen, Jimmy, let's just say I'm so happy for this kid. You know what I'm saying? And if I played any part in that fucking during the thing, awesome. Fucking, and he's still my black guy. I still got his fucking back. And I believe he's going to have that belt for a long time. And anybody that's fighting, you know, who is continuing to fight, nothing's changing as far as with my schools and whatnot. I'll still be there for everybody. I'm just exiting the whole corner scene. You know what I mean? Better that than more awkward moments. You got to do it like a Band-Aid, Jimmy. You got to rip that motherfucker right off. You know what I mean, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Are you going to say something? Don't just look at me.
No, I'm listening to you. And again, it's a dynamic that I haven't dealt with. So I kind of have to just, if anything I say is speculative, because I don't have the experience in that to say, because I think you're a really great coach. Like, a lot of his greatness is because of your coaching. And I'm sure he would admit that. So I think you're a great coach. So I hate to see you not coaching in a corner because you're really good at it. Regardless of the dynamics, just as somebody who watches a lot of fights and listens to the guys talking about the advice you give in the corner, I hate to see you not doing it with anybody, whoever the fighter is, because you're such a good coach and you're great in a corner. So selfishly, as a guy who watches fights, I hate to see you not there.
Yeah, but you could always throw in Fight Pass or watch season 4 of The Ultimate Fighter.
I could, but I like hearing you live. But again, I also, there's a selfish part of it too, because now that you can hear everything, when I'm watching and I hear, I'm like, yes, Matt, it's my guy. I like hearing my friend.
Listen, dude, we heard that enough, my homie. And again, myself and Ray Longo, dude, we, you know, that's what separated us from the other big teams. Well, we this, you know.
Yeah.
Long Island crew against the world. Once it starts to become something different, dude, that's when I just get the exit. And it doesn't mean I'm not going to be helping people. I'll always be helping people, you know. But it's all good, man. I love everybody, especially you.
Well, yes. And you know, you got, I love you no matter what you do. So maybe, look, if you don't, here's the good side. If you don't corner, more yeah. Matt for me. Because a lot of times you're gone because you're over. Then again, you're away shooting with Dana. So you know, you're going to be gone anyway, but I like when you're here. So the less time you're away, the happier I am.
Yeah, Jimmy. I mean, you know, listen, man, I'm really a hermit, man. I mean, I don't really leave my house to go to my school, and I used to go to the city to do this with you. And, you know, I'm pretty much a homebody. So, you know, when I, you know, I don't mind not going away. I wouldn't, I mean, right. Listen, like I did before, I love going to, I have memories of going around the world with these guys. So that's not going to go away anytime soon.
Yeah.
But I think to make this, I'm not trying to make this a fucking headline, but
right.
I cannot deal with how many people keep asking me. It's better just right. to let it out there, because how many people are going to ask me, oh, you're going to be in the next one? Why weren't you there?
You,
like,
don't want to deal with that.
I don't want to make it like I just left them hanging either, man. Like, I'm not too busy to fucking be there. I wasn't too busy to be in fucking the Missouri and fucking Shabby. You know, I could have took that one off. But I mean, listen, man, it's all good. It's all fucking good, because, you know, at the end of the day, mission accomplished. And, you know, that's just, you know, where we go from here. At least people will know that I'm, you know, just like with fighting, dude, you got to know when to bow out, bro. You got to know when to bow out. What if I stick around and it gets fucking even weirder? Okay, what happens in the next fight? Guys, what's going to happen? Am I allowed in my own corner? Nah, get the fuck out. I'm out. You know, I'm saying it in a funny way. But, yeah. You know, Jimmy, it's all...
Your own peace of mind, too. You like the idea of not having to think about it.
Yeah, now I can just help the guys. They can come down. We can do some jujitsu. I'll put my guys on their back, try to strangle them and get them in reverse triangles like Amanda Nunes. And it's all good. All right, guys, hit me up on your back. We'll get some pizza. There's no worried about me having to be there. But I'll tell you right now, myself and Ray Longo had some fucking moments in those corners. And we had some great moments being away with these guys, just being together and planning. But the moments in the corner, I think that I don't know. I couldn't tell you any single advice I gave a guy. But I do remember being, like, even with my ADD, I'll tell you right now, that's when I'm the most focused. Because my IQ, my regular IQ, I'm not going to fucking brag about. But I'll tell you right now, my fight IQ is pretty high. So I love being in the foxhole with Longo, getting in that cage, letting Longo say what he has to say. I say what I have to say. And if there's anything else, it's pure passion because we love these guys. I'm not trying to get some fucking quote from Braveheart. I'm not fucking, you know, I might have told Aljo, you know, show me who you are one time. Do you know why? Because that was from the Black Panther, and he loves that show. That was a great movie. Black Panther. Jimmy, tell me you've seen Black Panther.
I've never seen it.
I should fucking hang up on you. Fuck, you know what? Forget about working the corner. I'm done with this podcast.
You know? Did I ruin it?
Jimmy, there was a quote. Now, listen, you know I love those movies.
Sure.
And just hear me out. There's a quote, and I kept thinking about this. And I love those movies not only... Not just for the special effects stuff that you never think you would see. They're fun. Popcorn movies. Oh, man, look at Iron Man. But there's I like a lot of the dialogue because a lot of what happens with these heroes and with these guys is that they do the right thing, and it's about character. You know what I'm saying? So there's a part in the movie, one of your favorites, Age of Ultron, right? Now, Ultron's this, Mr. Jimmy, don't cringe. You cringing when you're wearing that chip shirt. Can you hear me out, motherfucker? Could you listen to me for 2 seconds?
Do you want one of these?
I don't want the chip. Yeah, the chip chippers and shit?
Yeah. Come on, it's a podcast. It's all it says, chip chippers and podcast.
You never invited me on that.
I'd love you to come on.
No, we'll talk about that.
Anyway. Yeah.
But there's a scene in Age of Ultron, right? And they're going against this killer machine, and it's taking over all the machines. It's getting the AI all over the place. This is a hard thing to go against. And
sure.
Between Tony Stark and Steve Rogers, they weren't in their outfits. If they were in the costumes, I would say Iron Man.
Sure, of course.
Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man, and Steve Rogers, who's Captain America. So Iron Man, right? Hear me out, Jimmy. This is important.
Okay, yeah.
He goes to Captain America. He goes, how are we going to face this threat? How are we going to face it? So Cap goes to him, and Cap's a little, you know, he's kind of like a Boy Scout, but he's, he goes, we'll face it together. And without missing a beat, you know, Iron Man goes, we'll lose. And then Cap goes, then we'll do that together too. Don't hit the boo button, Jimmy. But that gets my skin up. Jimmy, it gets something else up too. It's very exciting, that scene. Jimmy, don't. You can't stop coming out of this. People don't realize when they're listening that every time I say something like that, you're editing the Zoom screen and it's like you're leaving me and you're making me very embarrassed. Say that.
Nah, don't be. I literally... My audio cut out.
That's a great sound. That's a great line.
In fairness, I only heard half of it because my audio cut out.
Asshole.
What was the line?
I'm not saying it again. You're a son of a bitch. If anybody wants to see it, watch Age of Ultron.
Right.
Or just type into YouTube, Age of Ultron's Avengers Will Lose. And they give that little scene. It just gets my nipples hard.
So the guy just said, we're going to lose?
No. Tony Stark said, you know, listen, how are we facing this? And Cap's like, listen, together. That's how. Together. We'll lose. He's telling him, man, we'll lose. This is a
right.
Then we'll do that together too. That's what Cap said. In other words, I hate you. I fucking hate you. How could you set me up like that? How could you do that twice to me, you motherfucker? You know it's a corny line. I'm not Captain America. You're a fuck. For the people that don't know, he's exiting the fucking Zoom thing. After
it was a mistake.
I don't mean speech to. From Age of Ultron. Jimmy, I love you. It's all
I love you, pal.
Everything's great.
Good.
Funkmaster's new champ. I can't wait for that rematch.
Yeah, I can't either. I can't either.
I mean, dude, the fight was great, you know?
Yeah, that was.
Did I bring you down, Jimmy?
Not at all. No, of course not.
Am I bringing everybody down? I don't want this being a negative thing. It's not a negative thing.
No, and plus you're honest about what, and you're also answering a question that the reality is a lot of people will ask. So it kind of puts it out there and it puts an answer to the question out there. So you don't have to keep answering it. And because people who won't know will ask you. I understand why you wanted to talk about it.
But people make decisions and it doesn't mean like they're bad people. Like it's just no. They make these decisions. So, dude, I love everybody involved. I'm not leaving this thing like
right. No, I know.
Bitterness here or nothing. I love everybody, you know, and I want to keep all my these are all my friends. And again, man, in the future, we got, you know, I'll just be a little bit more behind the scenes with everything, you know, so don't expect me to be up there, Jimmy, because everybody's asking, where you been? I'm not too busy. But now, you know, things change, you know, relationships change, you know, but Jimmy, we still got more business here. Not today. I think we're done.
No, we're not for today, but we have more. Yeah.
But I like talking to Leon Edwards.
I do too. I do too. He's a good dude.
See that guy fight again, you know,
this Saturday. We'll make our picks this Wednesday.
I can't wait to see the whole card, Jimmy. Now, listen, how dare you? You're fucking funny. You going to go watch that scene on YouTube afterwards?
My computer's not working, so I have to. I'll do it probably later. My computer's.
Shit. Listen, I love you, Jimmy. Let's. You have anything to plug?
Look, these are new shirts. The Chip Chipperson podcast shirts are new. And one thing we have to mention is we had a fans guessing doing picks, and Colby MC 124 was the only person to pick a fight correctly. Rakic by decision over Thiago Santos. So congratulations, Colby MC 124.
Now Colby, now wait a second. He was the only guy to pick anything right.
We had some fans pick. We had a few fans pick
five. And nobody put anything on Filtered Army. You're all fucking. You're all ruined. You all got. You're picking not what?
I don't know.
They didn't pick right?
Most of them did not.
All right. Get that part out. Listen to me, Jimmy. I love you. Thank you for listening. I hope everything's, kosher with you. I appreciate you being a good friend.
Of course, buddy. That's what I'm here for. That's what friends are for. And
tell me the truth. When I hung up with you, did you just like call up your comedian's friends and go, that ultimate fight, what a little bitch.
No.
Tell me the truth.
No, I actually had the conversation on a live stream. So that's what everybody else said when they were calling in.
Oh, fuck. I love you, Jimmy. I'm going to talk to you next time.
You will, pal. And talk to you soon.
Later, buddy.
All right. Bye, Matt.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.